Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm kicking off today with Ed Moya, Senior Market Analyst over at Oanda. Now Ed, let's focus on a couple different sectors, a couple markets that are breaking out and some that are continuing their breakout. First, starting with copper. Copper is starting this week off on a very strong foot. It's up 6 cents, which is over 1.5%. And you look at the price level of copper trading right now in the spot market, at least at $3.43. Man, it wasn't that long ago that we were below $3. And this level is levels that we haven't seen for, I believe it's 7 years. So a pretty solid breakout for copper. And this is all obviously coming on the back of a hope for an economic restart, also a hope for some sort of infrastructure build. Ed, what are you putting the most weight on when it comes to what is driving copper higher?
It's a fascinating trade right now. And I think right now what we're seeing, as you highlighted, it's all about right now governments. And everyone is expecting a lot more fiscal spending. This is going to really kickstart that investment. And I think in 2021, where you're going to see a lot of talk about infrastructure expenditures, you're going to see that the focus is really going to be with the industrial rebound. And this is really going to benefit copper. Right? I think what we're starting to see throughout these last couple of months, there's been a little bit of a interesting move with the metals trade. I think you saw a lot of investors kind of abandon the gold and silver safe haven plays, and now it's all about the economic recovery. And copper has seen an extraordinary amount of new interest. I think that you're seeing that there's just a lot more expectations for increased use for electric wiring, and there's just so much I think focus on just looking at this current rally. It's just kind of erased the trade war and lockdown declines, and now it just seems that once we have we break past these key resistance levels, it just seems that there's just a lot of bullish momentum pent up, and now we could see this trade continue to go for some time.
Now, Ed, you even mentioned it there, though, that copper is rising in the face of, trade war news and still some lockdown fears, but investors are ignoring these. Is this simply just investors taking a longer-term outlook and saying, you know what, there might be some weakness in the near term, but in the next month or two, that's what they're pricing copper in for?
I think so. I think right now you're seeing that markets are just, for the most part, with the copper trade, they're ignoring the latest efforts from the Trump administration, just kind of ratcheting up the tensions with Beijing. And then also we have the new spat between China and Australia. It seems that right now that doesn't matter. It seems for the most part that this rally, there's just so much conviction behind this move. And I think you oftentimes, like to have the fundamentals agree with the technicals, but right now I think the longer term fundamentals still support higher prices. And right now I think everyone is kind of ignoring this short term noise, ignoring the current waves of the virus spread and the expected increased lockdowns that we're probably going to see across the US and Europe. And I think everyone is just focused for what's going to be beyond the first quarter of next year. And I think there's just a lot of optimism flowing, and we're starting to finally see all that cash that's been on the sideline. It's getting pumped into the markets, and people are looking on where to put investments in. And the copper trade seems like a trade that can really cover many bases, and gives you your exposure for Asia, gives you your cyclical rotation, which will likely see stronger infrastructure I think demand for trades like that. So there's a lot of momentum behind you right now, and I think that's why you're starting to see investors be really excited over copper.
Now, Ed, one thing driving down into the copper stocks, we haven't seen the copper stocks scream higher to the degree that you would expect when copper is breaking out. I understand that the stocks are doing decently, but still, this is a key breakout, and I don't know, the money doesn't seem to be flowing that aggressively into some of the stocks. Have you been paying attention to this discrepancy?
And a little bit. And I think what we really saw was that there's the for much of 2020, a lot of these companies, the Rio Tintos, the Glencores, they've been battling different key drivers, whether it's mining strikes, whether it's there's rising expenses, just the lack of ability to really kind of fend off the virus surges over these last few months. And I think what we're seeing is the short-term outlook right now, I think still, despite, you know, the strong rally in prices, you know, a lot of these companies have not really had strong years. And I think that you're probably going to see that, you know, with most infrastructure stocks, you're going to see that the outlook is a lot brighter. But right now, there's still a bit of short-term pain. And that's why we're probably seeing the stocks lag a little bit.
And we have to consider still that continued weakness in the U.S. dollar. That does also help base metals. I know a lot of the focus is on precious metals, but right now, even with copper moving higher, it does show more of optimism, more of hope that the economic restart does come as smoothly as, well, the markets are telling it us it might. Let's look on the other side of the coin here and talk about cryptocurrencies. Bitcoin, that's having a big day today. Cryptocurrencies, especially Bitcoin, they're back to this volatile nature, which in some senses does draw in some of these other short-term traders. But overall, this move into cryptos, I need to ask you, what do you think are the key factors driving this interest?
Oh, it's amazing, because I think we've seen two tulip mania type rallies for Bitcoin. The first one 3 years ago was mainly by retail investors, and that trade got out of control. This one, though, is entirely different. This one, we're starting to see a lot more institutional money placing longer-term bets. So typically, you like to see that in any investment where you have strong conviction behind longer-term bullish bets. So this rally is quite different. There's growing retail interest. I think you're seeing a whole new a wave of cryptocurrency enthusiasts. But I think the bigger part of the rally has been by the institutional side, and that's why we're seeing you're probably going to have you know, heightened volatility, because with Bitcoin, you know, we've been able to see 1,000 point drops in like 15 minutes. but I think this time you're going to see that, you know, as we approach that 20,000 level, I think you're going to see that everyone is going to be focused on that. I think the mainstream media is really kind of fixated on it. And typically that draws more enthusiasm and more interest. We'll probably see much more wilder swings. I think coming to the Thanksgiving holiday, I was kind of covering the cryptos and just highlighting how, you know, normally around some of these illiquid conditions, we see some exaggerated moves. We saw, for the most part, you know, prices rallied up to 19,000, almost fell to 16,000. Now, today, they rallied above 19 and hit a fresh record high. So, and then it's kind of pared back a little bit. But I think you're going to see that the enthusiasm is there. Bitcoin is attracting all types of interest. Some are attributing it to replacing gold as a safe haven trade. Some are just focused on the likelihood that you're going to see all the major central banks really deliver a lot more stimulus, and also governments do, and this is going to boost investment in cryptos. There's just a plethora of reasons, and we're not seeing much weakness with the cryptos. When we hear hacking news, like the DeFi hacks, like it's not really providing significant weakness like it did in the past few years. So I think right now Bitcoin is the lead cryptocurrency. Ethereum is a close second and has outperformed Bitcoin this year. But there's a tremendous amount of interest, and it's still growing. And it'll likely lead to a lot more volatile swings, I think, in these next several weeks leading up to the holidays.
It is noteworthy to see that Ethereum is leading Bitcoin too, even as Bitcoin is going through a pretty epic rise in itself, right? It does show that investors are coming in and looking down the food chain, not just simply playing the largest cryptocurrency and forgetting about it. So I don't know. We'll keep on following this story because these breakouts are interesting. And yeah, there's always that debate. Is Bitcoin taking over gold? Is there room for both of them? I see there being room for both of them, but for me, there's a lot more use cases for Bitcoin too, and that's obviously creeping into investors' minds. Let's also talk about the oil market too, because OPEC or the OPEC Plus groups are meeting this week, and the price has been rising quite nicely ahead of this meeting, but all eyes are on if supply cuts are going to be retained and what exactly OPEC Plus is doing. Ed, outline what you think everyone should be looking for when it comes to a summary of what's going to come out of these OPEC meetings.
Well, I think we have to, you know, take a backseat here. First, look at the big picture. And right now, you know, what was the main reason for the formation of OPEC Plus? You know, we needed to see a coordinated effort. We needed to have the Saudis and Russians play nice. And their ultimate goal was market share. And what happened was the U.S. shale revolution saw the Saudis and Russians, you know, for the most part, give up a few million barrels per day of market share to American companies. And right now we're at this key inflection point here where you're going to see that the economic recovery optimism is strongly in place for 2021. And everyone is anxious to start to ramp up production. But what we're seeing is that, you know, these current COVID-19 lockdowns and restrictive measures are likely, you know, dampening the outlook in the short term. So what's happening is OPEC Plus is not in a position to curtail those production cuts. So what we're seeing is, you know, prior to, you know, this week, it was widely expected, you know, that OPEC would have a 3-month extension to the current oil production cuts. But what's been developing is that the U.S. shale and the oil producing has really picked up in recent months. And I think what we're really focusing on right now is, you know, September crude for U.S. You know, it's back above 10.9 million barrels per day, 10.86. And that is very concerning for these OPEC producers, especially Iran and the UAE. And what you're going to see is that OPEC is not going to have an easy time just agreeing upon what's extending these production cuts a few more months. Because if they do, it's likely that you're going to see that be a very good signal for the shale producers to continue, you know, bringing these rigs back online and having U.S. oil reassert itself. So I think what you're seeing is the likelihood is, you know, we're probably going to see OPEC Plus extend those production cuts another month or two. And they're just going to keep the markets in check and making sure that we don't have U.S. production get out of control. It's all about market share for these guys. And right now they're benefiting from higher oil prices, but you know, everyone is still widely anticipating a much stronger 2021. But right now you don't want to give up market share this early in the recovery. So I think you're going to see there's going to be a lot of division in this meeting. And I think that you're going to probably see that a lot will come out of tomorrow's meeting. There's also been, you know, some speculation that Saudi Arabia could resign their role as co-chair of the OPEC Plus committee. So there's a lot to come out of that meeting. I think as long as we see some type of extension of production cuts, that should be supportive for oil prices, as everyone is anticipating much higher prices as the demand outlook improves next year. It's just that right now we have all that short-term noise, and I think that everyone's going to be focused on tomorrow, but there should be some type of agreement reached.
Okay. Hey, either way, though, what we're seeing in copper, what we're seeing in oil is pointing to just more optimism about an economic restart. I still feel like it might be getting a little ahead of ourselves, but That apparently is what the market does, right? It forecasts the future, foretells the future. We'll see if this restart is as smooth as the markets are predicting. But hey, right now, Ed, it's going to be an interesting end to the year. And I think I'm not alone in saying can't wait to get this year behind us. Ed, thanks for your time this morning. I hope you have a great week.
Thank you. You too.